Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Simon Estes and we're going to be talking about a concert coming up. Good morning to you, Simon Estes.
Good morning and how are you?
I'm good. Hope the same with you.
Yes, it's very busy, but that's a good thing.
Yes, I think it probably is. And because we want you a well and in top performance for the Audubon Conference that's coming up on September 30th, and we're going to be giving you those details. But I want to have you visit a little bit about the Roots and Wings tour that Audubon is a part of this tour. Tell us a little bit about the idea behind that and what you're doing.
Well, I'll try to make this as short as possible. I was a professor at Boston University for many years and retired from there about 3 years ago. Because I've been a professor at Iowa State for this is my 15th year and at Wartburg College my 11th year, and my wife said, Simon, you're doing so much, plus I'm still singing all around. And she said, you need to, why don't you just concentrate on Iowa, you know, because I've done things in the world. I have had an international foundation in Zurich, Switzerland, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, okay, I listened to my wife, and she gave me good advice.
Good advice.
And then I decided, well, I still want to do something. And, you know, the children are having difficulty going to college today because it's expensive, et cetera, et cetera. And as I say, I've had many foundation funds that I've established, scholarship funds, et cetera. So I thought, well, why don't I try to sing in all 99 counties in Iowa and give 50% of my fee back to the county so these young people can have scholarships to go to any college or university, especially in Iowa, but any place else that they want to go. And the reason we call it Roots and Wings is my roots are in Iowa. I was born in Iowa, as you probably know.
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
And so we give wings to the children to fly off and pursue whatever vocation or profession they want to do through education, through going to college and a university. And the reason I did it is because when I was very, very young, growing up, we were very poor in Centerville, Iowa, and I went to the University of Iowa, had my degree from the University of Iowa, and an honorary doctor from Iowa State and other colleges and universities. And I just thought, well, when I was still a student at the University of Iowa, before I went out to Juilliard School of Music, I always thought if I was ever blessed, I would like to try to help young people financially because I know what it's like to struggle. And so God has blessed me, and so, as I say, I've helped children all around the world. I had a Simon Estes International Foundation for Children in Zurich, Switzerland, up until about a month ago, and I founded that like 25 years ago or more. But I just decided to come back to Iowa, and I'm living actually in Iowa now, and I thought, why not use some of the talent and gifts that God has given me to help students in the state of Iowa.
All right. Well, we're so fortunate that you decided to live here and to do this tour. And I want to give people a bit of the details here for the Audubon concert that will be at the Audubon High School on September 30th. The tickets are $20, and you can get those tickets here at KJAN, at the Audubon State Bank, Landman's Bank, almost every bank in Audubon County, Manning Insurance Company, Danish Windmill, on and on. Lots of places to get the tickets. And if you have more questions about that, you can always contact Linda Bloom. But the concert starts at 4. Of course, the doors will be open a short time before that. So I want to go back and talk a little bit about, you've mentioned you were born in Centerville, you grew up fairly poor, but I want to find out a little
very
bit. Very poor. Your father was a coal miner, but there were many other families, I'm sure, in that same situation at that time.
Yes.
But I want to have you visit a little bit about the part that music played in your life at that time when you were growing up.
Well, you know, when I was a little boy, I sang in church. Maybe the first time I sang a solo, maybe I was 8 or 9 years of age. And my mother had the most incredible voice, and I had an older sister, three older sisters, but my oldest sister, she had this incredible voice and played the piano. And so I grew up with music in our home and hearing my mother sing and hearing my sister sing and of course, in church. And then when I was in junior high school, as it was called in those days, I think now they call them middle schools or whatever, at any rate, I was invited to sing with the high school choir in Centerville. Don Gunderson was a choral director, and that had never been done before, that you bring somebody over from junior high. And I was a boy soprano, of course, at that age. And I came over, and I remember having sung a song in the music room for all the people, and some parents were there, and a lady named Mrs. Poffenberger. I'll never forget that.
That's a name. Yes.
Poffenberger, and I was probably, 13 years old then or something, and this lady was crying after I finished singing. I looked, and she's crying. I said, "Oh, Mrs. Poffenberger, I'm so sorry you cried." I was devastated, you know, that she cried. She said, "No, they're tears of happiness or joy." I don't remember her exact words, but she let me know they weren't bad tears. She
yes.
was touched.
Yes.
And I've never forgotten that. And a voice teacher heard me at the University of Iowa way back in 1961, singing in the Old Gold Singers, which was a choral group there. And he said, "Simon, you know you have a voice to sing opera." And I more or less said, "What's opera?"
Yeah. Never
so
heard any
of that.
Without
this man, I wouldn't be here today. And then he arranged for me to go to Juilliard School of Music. And my career started in 1965. Mm-hmm. But it all came from Iowa, I must honestly say. God gave a talent to my mother. She passed it on to me. And then the gift of singing and the talent that he gave me to sing is from God.
And you have made the most of that, for sure. Now, you mentioned that you sang in the Old Gold Singers, because obviously getting into opera is not, that's something you had to work very hard at. But
yes.
You've also made some strides here, because you were the first black male to sing with the Old Gold Singers.
That's true. Yes, yes. And I can remember when I auditioned for the choral director, he heard me sing, and then I found this out later. He went to the rest of the members of the Old Gold Singers. I think they're like 24 in the group, and he told them, said, "You know, I heard this young man sing. I don't know if he called me a man or a boy, but it doesn't matter." Mm-hmm. He said, and "I'd like to know, would you accept him?" He said, because he's, I don't remember if we were colored then or black or Afro-American.
You were different than all those other
but
white.
But I was different than everybody else in the group.
Yes.
And so they just said to him, they said, "Well, can he sing?" And he said, "Yes." They said, "Well, we don't care."
Oh, wonderful.
And that's exactly the way it was. And I became the primary male soloist in that group. And there's another young lady who was a white lady, Mary Sue Grove is her name. So she got all of the soprano roles, solos rather, and I got the bass baritone solos.
When did your voice change?
My voice did not change until my senior year in high school. I was 18 years of age. And when I went to high school, of course, I was singing first soprano. I really was. And my
amazing.
Voice changed. And Don Gunderson sent me to a doctor in Centerville to see what had happened. And he said, "I don't think there's anything wrong with your voice, except that your voice is probably changing." So that's what it was.
And I'm guessing you went through a couple of kind of difficult years there as your voice changed.
Well, I actually couldn't sing. I had no range to my voice. I maybe had four or five notes that I could halfway sing. And I didn't do any singing there. So when I went to the University of Iowa, I went 1 year to junior college in Centerville in 56. In 57, I transferred to the University of Iowa. And I went into pre-med because, you know, I wasn't going to think I was going to be able to sing. I didn't know anything about voices and how they developed and how they changed, et cetera, et cetera. But by time, and I had to change, I changed my major a number of times at the University of Iowa. I don't recommend people do what I did. I say, do what I say. Don't change your major four times. I did. But Mr. Kellis, his voice teacher who discovered me, by that time, and was after I'd been in the Gold Singers for a couple of years, my voice had changed. And when I started saying, "Mr. Kellis," excuse me, he said, "Well, what voice do you think you are?" I said, "Well, I guess a tenor." He said, "No, you're a bass baritone." Mm. I said, "Oh, okay." When did I know? You know,
yeah.
I said, "Oh, okay." So if it had not been for Charles Kellis, and he's still alive in New York City, I just spoke with him last week, he's 85 years of age, I wouldn't be talking with you right now.
I'm sure he is just getting so much fulfillment out of that. He helped many, many people, but none like you, Simon Estes, none like you, who has sung for United States presidents all of countries all over the world, perform in opera all over the world, and here you are back in Iowa. I have one other basic question, and that's what kind of physical stamina does it take? What kind of practice? What kind of things do you have to do?
Well, you have to be very healthy, number one.
Uh-huh.
And in order to sing opera, I'm not saying that we as opera singers are better than any other singers in the world, but we have very special, I'll just make a very simple term, vocal cords. Because, for example, the Metropolitan Opera is our most famous opera house in the United States. It has over 4,400 seats. We have to be able to fill that huge opera house up, that auditorium, with an orchestra between us and the audience of maybe 85, 90 members, without amplification. We never use microphones in the opera houses.
Amazing.
Now, we do use microphones if we sing the national anthem at a football game, basketball
sure.
game, or certain places that don't have good acoustics, then, yeah, we do use a microphone. But you have to be born with these special vocal cords, and in my opinion, it's truly, truly a gift from God.
And you are now sharing that with people still all over the world, but especially with people in Iowa. So we
yes.
want to, again, remind people that they can come to hear you in Audubon on September 30th. Program starts at 4 p.m. at the Audubon High School. And get your tickets now to not only hear and revel in your voice, but also to help students in all these countries. So thank you so much, Simon Estes, for visiting with us today.
Well, I thank you very much, and we'll look forward to some of your students applying for our scholarship.
Right.
We've given 73 scholarships in a little over 2 years.
All right.
73.
And
well, thank you very much.
You bet. Until next time, here's a thought, a comment about Simon's voice. He has the voice of perfection, the strength of steel, and the beauty of velvet.